While there are so many reasons to see Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, here are Gina Della from Pella's top 10 reasons to visit PellaWI.com now. Number 10, Pella of Wisconsin installs year-round. Number 9, every Pella of Wisconsin installer is Pella certified to ensure your complete satisfaction. Number 8, Pella of Wisconsin teams complete installation in as little as one day. Numbers 7 through 5, a 2020 survey rated Pella Windows number 1 for highest value, highest quality, and most preferred by Green Bay and Milwaukee homeowners. Numbers 4 and 3, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin has 6 lines to fit your style and financing to fit any budget. Number 2, now Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin's featured offer gives you 5 years, no interest, plus 5 months, no payments. And the number 1 reason to see Pella of Wisconsin now, these offers end January 31st. Set your free consultation today at PellaWI.com, PellaWI.com, or call 855-PELLA-WI, 855-PELLA-WI. Tell them Regular Joe sent you. Certain restrictions apply. See showroom for details.
Fighting for truth, justice, and the American way. Without the cape, we're the superpowers. Not even a sidekick. Heck, we don't even have fancy gadgets. This is just Joe and his trusty microphone. Made in the USA. This is the Regular Joe Show.
Oh, so good.
Well, good Friday morning and welcome to one, welcome to all. Joe Gigante, your Regular Joe, kicking off this year Open Line Friday. That's right. You get to pick the topic. Nothing is off the table when you call 888-455-1360, 888-455-1360. You pick the topic. I will set the tempo and the tone when we have the conversation. Of course, you can text 79489. Or you can email regular.joe at mwcradio.com. These are the ways to plug in each and every Monday through Friday. But on this, a Friday, it is that much more important because it's your opportunity to help steer the ship. That's why it's called Open Line Friday. Got that? All right, it is 9:07 a.m. Central Time, which means in Bogota, Colombia, I can only imagine why Hunter Biden likes to do business there. 10:07 a.m. In Saudi Arabia, 6:07 p.m. The United Arab Emirates, also 7:07 p.m. there. And in Afghanistan, you just creep ahead 30 minutes, and it's 7:37 p.m. In Taiwan, that is a nation unto itself. Well, I mean, it was up until, you know, Biden said what he did, and somehow I think the Chinese are eyeballing it even more. Over there, it is 11:07 p.m. That is your new and improved Biden crime time. Biden Crime Family Time Check. That's easy for you to say. Brought to you at the top of each and every hour to make sure one never forgets the scum and villainy that is the Biden crime family. All right, so much to talk about today. So very much to talk about. Although I'm going to start out, I mean, I don't usually do a lot of celebrity stuff, and that's not, I mean, you know, I pay attention to things. I have my favorite celebrities like everybody else, but news overnight came that the singer Meat Loaf had died, and I've heard a lot of the tributes. One thing I didn't know was that he was quite a patriot. I heard a tribute this morning from another singer, John Rich, and I just wasn't aware of it. And I was laughing because I heard people earlier on the radio talking about his, you know, his hit songs, Paradise by the Dashboard Light, 2 out of 3 Ain't Bad, you know, and then his subsequent hits. But and I was telling Steve, so I mean, I started out in music radio, like a lot of talk radio hosts do, and I did Top 40, I did oldies, I did classic rock, and did AC, anyway, and then I got into talk radio. But I actually was more familiar with Meat Loaf because I also DJed in clubs and in bars and all that kind of thing back in the Washington, D.C. area, and he was a staple in the, people loved it. Matter of fact, the Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, which was a DJ favorite, and I'll get into that in a moment, but is like 8 minutes and 42 seconds or 8 minutes and 38 seconds, something like, I forget the exact number. One of the longest songs that was ever, you know, for a single, much less to be played anywhere. In the one place that I used to DJ, it was the PGI's, was what we called it, it was Prince's Garden Inn, out in the suburban Maryland. But anyway, we had these two people. It's kind of a neat little story because so you had a guy and a gal that used to frequent this bar on the weekends and Friday nights when I would DJ there. Inevitably, somebody would request Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, and they would do this. It became this routine where he would come out and he would do he would lip sync the vocals to Meatloaf's part, and then this gal that was there would do the female stuff and female lyrics, and then over time they became a couple. That when it started out, they were just two people in the bar that thought it'd be fun to do this. And they did that. Anyway, they became a couple. They ended up getting married, which is just over the course of DJing. They're like, I don't know, I was there a couple of years. I don't remember the exact timeline on from when it started to when they got married. But and it was all over this song. This song is what brought this couple together. They ended up getting married. As far as I know, they're still married. It's been years now. This is going back 20-some years ago almost 30 years ago, actually, when I was doing it. But I just thought it was always the neatest thing that this song that clearly was, they loved the song, and so much so that they do this little dance routine as they did it. It's very fun. But the reason why, and I don't know that anyone's told you, so the real reason DJs, radio DJs or bar DJs or wedding DJs, one of the reasons they love the song is because it's so long. It is one of the few songs that gives you a break. If you have to go to the bathroom, whatever, you can play Paradise by the Dashboard Lights. I mean, you could leave, go to the bathroom, talk to a few people in the bar, stop by, pick up a drink at the bar, head back, and you still had time left before you've got to queue up the next song. Now, understand that when I was DJing, nowadays it's different. It's all computerized. They sit there and build a playlist on a computer, and they press play. Back then, we actually had to mix the music, picking the songs individually, switching from song to song. I actually started out with records, which I know we have a younger audience that listens. I mean, across the board here, those are those big, circular black things that your parents and grandparents had. But I had quite the collection. I still have it in storage, most of my records. I got rid of some. But anyway, so I started in records. And then this newfangled thing called CDs came along. And I remember saying to the guy that I used to, that worked with me at the bar. He did one night, I did the other night. And he was the first one. He showed me a CD. He goes, "You got to try this thing out, man." And back then they had very digital sound, so it wasn't quite as full. And I remember saying, these will never take off. So don't trust me for innovation. If you want to know what the next big innovation is going to be, at least 30 years ago, don't ask me what that was going to be. Of course they did, made our lives easier. But still, when you had to do actual live DJing, you couldn't rely on the computer to do all the work for you. That song was a very important part of you reserve playing it to a certain time at night to make sure you got full effect with the bar and with the crowd, but also to make sure that if you needed your break, you got your break. Otherwise, the best thing you come up with was Shout, which is 4 minutes and 24 seconds or something like that. So, but not quite the same. And there's my Meatloaf story. So, Andy was in Fight Club. Did you ever see the movie Fight Club? Didn't see the one where he played a serial killer, but I did see him in Fight Club. So he was. Matter of fact, one of the kind of a neat little side is that he, according to, I think it was John Rich said this, that he did not consider himself a singer. He considered himself playing the role of a singer, but he had a very dynamic voice. He had a 3-octave range. So, I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at, but he considered himself more an actor than anything, and truly has. I mean, when you think of his songs, his hits are all very unique. Phil Rizzuto, by the way, is the voiceover in old baseball guy. And well, then he became, to some generations, he was Phil Rizzuto of the Money Store. Remember that Nationwide commercial? But when you hear there's a voiceover in the middle of Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, that's Phil Rizzuto. So, all right. But then 2 out of 3 ain't bad. I want you, I need you, but I ain't never going to love you. And then, I do anything for love, but I won't do that. It's kind of, I mean, he had a sense of humor in his music.
He said he looked at his career as a sporting event.
He was competitive. He was. He said, Steve was saying he looked at his career as a sporting event and was competitive. I would say, I mean, it's just kind of a neat little story to start off our Friday. But alas, there are more things to talk about than just that. Today in Washington is the March for Life, the annual March for Life, memorializing that tomorrow's the actual day, the 22nd of January, 1973, so just shy of 50 years, that we have lived with decriminalized abortion to the loss of more than 65 million babies who never had the chance to take their first breath, never had the chance to be a part of this world. And there'll be hundreds of thousands of pro-life Americans, at least, hopefully. I mean, with all of the lockdown scenarios they have down there, with masking requirements, papers requirements to be able to go into certain places and so forth. They always hold it on a weekday, though. Now, this, I'm just going to mention this, because let's see what narrative comes out of this. Now, this has been going on since the 70s, the first March for Life. Year after year after year, Americans have gone there to have their voices heard. They have a rally on the Mall, then they march to the Capitol. Sound familiar? And then they meet with their congressional representatives on the Senate and House side to tell them they want to see Roe v. Wade go away. It'll be interesting to see on that latter part how that's handled today in light of the lockdowns, the fencing, and all the other narratives that are out there. And of course, one of the big questions, will this be the last March for Life? Now, I would say that even if Roe v. Wade is overturned by the Supreme Court, which is a possibility given the current court cases, I don't think there should ever be an end to the March for Life. Because the reason that this happened in the first place was a lack of vigilance on our part. And the last thing we can do is take the victory and be like, okay, we're done here. Now, again, don't have to necessarily have the same intensity, but an annual event to mark the end of that, I think, is an important tradition to keep so that no one can ever forget the terrible genocide that has been undertaken in these United States, a silent genocide, one barely looked at, but that claims upwards of 3,500 lives a day just in the United States of America. Consider that number. That's larger than 80% of the towns in the state of Wisconsin. That'd be the entire population of a town wiped out in one day. And yet, think of how little you actually hear about these things. And when speaking of tragedies, we have the continuing Greek tragedy here in Wisconsin, with the effeminate speaker, Robin Voss, continuing to prove that he is nothing but a slimy, slithering snake. Yesterday, I read a statement from Kyle Hughes, who's a lieutenant, running for lieutenant governor here in the state of Wisconsin, in response to what went on with Rantham, where he has stripped away Rantham's staffer, ostensibly because he lied. It really doesn't make sense. They issued an official statement to try to save face because they're getting pummeled for this, as they should, that the leadership of the Republican Party in the Assembly. Their statement does nothing to illuminate the situation. In my humble opinion, it only makes it more obvious that this is nothing more than cheap political retribution. It is a clear disdain for Rantham's constituents specifically, but generally for all the voters, particularly conservative voters in the state of Wisconsin. Now, I read that statement, and in that statement, I challenged others. Where are the other candidates? Where are the other people making statements? And as it turns out, and I was not aware of this, whoopsie. There goes the stories of the day. Anyway, it was that Jonathan Wickman had apparently made a statement. Well, I shouldn't say he had been on a video. The Badger State Resistance video did a video the night, two nights ago, basically, the night prior to yesterday's show. I was not aware of that when I said it. So he did make a statement. And then in addition to that now, he was asked, Voss, that is, was asked about Wickman, because in that, like myself, like others, he called for Voss to resign immediately, given the way he is abusing his power. And that is, it is an abuse of power. He has the right to do it, but that doesn't mean he should be doing it. Because again, what purpose does it serve? And the answer is it serves his power. It serves his own self of his own sense of self-importance. It does nothing for the people of Wisconsin. It does nothing to serve the constituents of Rantham's district. So the question is why? So yesterday in a press conference, Voss was asked about Wickman's call for his resignation. Here's the reporter and Voss's very snarky response. cut 26.
Yeah. So Jonathan Wickman also, if you read his Facebook page, said that somehow if he becomes governor, he was going to have control over the legislature, which just a basic reading of the Constitution says we have three separate co-equal branches of government. So, you know, Mr. Wickman, I think he's probably, what, at 1%? He has the right to say whatever he wants, but I will stand with my colleagues. I think I'm in pretty good shape. I think most people appreciate what we're doing and that we need to focus on the future, not on trying to decertify the election and focus on the
past. No, he said focus on the past. I want to comment on a couple quick things. Now, we've got to go quickly, and I've got actually a statement from two leaders here in the state of Wisconsin that have also issued a statement that I will share with you after the break. But here's the first part. His utter dismissive tone, as though he's the master of all things Republican. Oh, what is this person, this plebe that has the desires to speak to the king? This is the problem with Voss, because that's not just hyperbole, that's how he thinks of himself. And you know what also disturbed me as I looked in the background? He said, well, I think I'm good with my colleagues. And I saw all the bobbleheads behind him, all these Republicans. Yeah, you're wonderful, Robin. Yeah, just don't take my chairmanship. Please give me money from RAC. Yeah. What a pathetic bunch of people. What a pathetic, spineless group of losers. Every one of you that was sitting there going, yeah, Robin. Yeah, anything you say, Robin. How do you guys look yourselves in the mirror? Really? Do you have any integrity? This man acts like some kind of cheap tyrant, some petty political tyrant. And the best thing you can do is kiss his ring, especially when he puts it in his back pocket. How do you live with yourself?
This is the Regular Joe Radio Show.